Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Tim, Michael, and the occasional guest discussing digital analytics issues of the day. Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/analyticshour and their website analyticshour.io. And now, the Digital Analytics Power Hour.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. This is episode 68. You know, a long while back, there was a predecessor to the Digital Analytics Power Hour. It was called Beyond Web Analytics. The hosts of that show were Rudy Schumpert, Adam Greco, and Gary Angel. They made it 68 episodes before their careers took them all in different directions and away from each other. But we wanted to stop a moment along the way to tip our analytics hats to those that came before us. This is episode 68, and while we'll keep going with this podcast for a while longer yet, and we might have a surprise or two in store, reminiscing like that makes us think of community. Analytics is and was a tight-knit group of people who share a common passion, sometimes expressed in uncommon ways, around an art and science that many do not understand. And so that's what we're going to talk about on this episode. Some tips and tricks and ideas for making your local analytics community all that it can be. As always, I'm Michael Helbling. I lead the digital analytics practice at Search Discovery. And I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Wilson, senior partner at Analytics Demystified. Welcome back, Tim.
Hey, fun fact, I actually saw in person Gary Angel and Adam Greco today.
Nice.
I won't say where I am and tip our hands as to exactly when this is being recorded, but I actually chatted with both of them today.
And sitting in the third chair as a guest host is Mo Kiss, product analyst at The Iconic. Welcome, Mo.
Mo Kiss.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Hi.
Ah, the crowd goes wild.
Yeah. All right. So this is sort of the episode where I think I have an interest in kind of hearing from you two. So let me set the stage. You know, there's multiple chapters in the DAA around specific cities and trying to grow them. In where I live in Atlanta, we've been trying to get the DAA chapter kind of up and running. We've done some events, but both of you have been really engaged and active in building up analytics communities in your towns. And so I think today's discussion, let's talk about what worked and what didn't. How did that process work? Analytics is a pretty friendly place, but getting us all together sometimes can be difficult.
I think because of the success we've had in Columbus, who have said, I want to do this in Seattle or New York, or we used to do this in Boston, but it's been a struggle, or we're going to try to get this rolling in Austin. So I guess I was kind of thinking that's part of this. It kind of worked out that like Sydney is, I don't think I was super aware that Sydney had quite kind of a strong community until I managed to kind of crash the very end of a Web Analytics Wednesday a couple of years ago and got to meet some of the people there who were awesome and clearly connected. And then actually meeting Mo, and she's like, oh yeah, I know those guys. And she's been involved. So I think this is, I think we all have some sort of a hunger to be engaging in person, unless you're, extreme introvert. And that may be another topic we cover. But I've been super lucky, and I don't know how much is luck and how much is effort, to have that community in Columbus, Ohio, which was kind of an adopted town for me a decade ago.
I think it's a bit of both. I think it is luck, but I think it's also a lot of effort. And I suppose when I talk today about my experiences, I'm really riding the coattails of the guys who've been organizing our Web Analytics Wednesday for the last few years, because I've only just started to get really involved. And I suppose for me, the best way to do that has actually been to offer to help out. And that's kind of, organizing Web Analytics Wednesday and Measure Camp. That's actually been, I guess, my into the community, but it's also made the community, I guess, less scary. Because the first, I can still remember the first Web Analytics Wednesday I went to, and lots of, I guess, new people would feel this, is you go there and there's this like tight-knit group at the front. They all know each other. They're all cracking jokes. And you kind of sit at the back and you don't really know who to talk to. You don't know what to say.
they're the cool kids. The cool kids of analytics.
It's a bit awkward.
Yeah, there are cool kids, too.
Yeah, there are cool kids of analytics.
Like, I'm already an analyst. I don't need to feel like an outcast amongst other analysts.
You've always been one of the cool kids, Tim. You don't know how it is for the rest of us.
Oh, bullshit.
So, well, actually, but you're not wrong. And actually, if I think back, I think my very first Web Analytics Wednesdays was back when I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, and we put together a few of them. And yeah, it was, there were small gatherings. We were just trying to get the people together and then just sort of chatting. But I always went into it with sort of this attempt to kind of greet or say hello to every person there, as a way to get out of my comfort zone and pursue the intended purpose. I think sometimes that probably made people uncomfortable. Like, who is this weird person?
Make me uncomfortable every 2 weeks.
Why is he insisting on talking to me? You know, but I was not a cool kid of analytics. I was just someone eager to learn. But it is interesting because actually some really good friendships over the years have emerged out of that. And certainly when I moved back to Cleveland and started having opportunities to go down to Columbus every once in a while, hanging out with that community kind of gave me a view of, wow, this is how a good web analytics community can kind of work. And sort of seeing what that group did. And you know, Tim, you kind of spearheaded that, and then others joined you, and kind of it grew into its own thing. And I feel like we've got some of the seeds of that. And I think a lot of people want to have that, but maybe don't understand what they need to do to make it happen.
And I guess from the Sydney perspective, what we've really learned as a group over the last few years is that it can't just live on the shoulders of one person. One person can't be kind of the force that's driving it, that's organizing it, that's getting the speakers. It really needs to be a group. And we've actually just set up an organizing committee to run both Web Analytics Wednesday and Measure Camp for that reason. It's also a way, like I said, to involve more people and make it a bit less scary by kind of sharing the tasks and the prep for each month.
I will say I've been on point, but the way it started in Columbus, there were basically three of us, and one moved away within like a year or so, but it's been, you know, a guy named Dave Culbertson and I have kind of been the guys there from the beginning, and we added a few other people along the way, and certainly those core were reliable. I will say, as an organizer, what has driven me berserk is the people who say, oh, I'd love to help out, and they don't really mean it, because you ask them to do like one thing and they're completely unreliable. And that's like as things have grown, you know, it's like, yes, it's a machine, but there are literally like 25 details. And if, you know, if you say, oh, I only miss my detail like one out of three times, like that math works out where that falls on the organizer. So I definitely did hit a point of burnout. I agree that I think when you showed up at Web Analytics Wednesday and said, I'll volunteer, and they're like, I have no idea what they thought, but like you actually showed up and volunteered, and they're like, oh, hell yeah. And I've had the same thing happen where there have been people who have volunteered over the years who have like really been there, and they're awesome. Like they have become, you know, not only close friends, but I mean, shit, I'll refer business to them. They are people where I'm like, yes. And there are other people who have said, oh, I'd love to help out. And then every time I ask, they're like, oh, not this time. Or, well, maybe. Or, well, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. And they text me that 17 minutes before they're going to show up.
Yeah, see, I guess we've been pretty lucky that the people who do volunteer, they really want to be there. And I guess we're starting to implement some different ways to have a bit more accountability. So Simon Rumble, obviously, from Snowflake, has been instrumental in running WAR for the last few years. And, you know, he has a family, and the job of not only being the organizer, but the host of the evening, it's there's a lot. Like, you've got different speakers to organize, you've got all the tech at the venue, all that sort of stuff. So one of the ways that we're trying to change that is that we have a host each month, and that host is responsible for organizing that event. And I guess at the moment, while it's in trial, we're still, you know, Simon will be on backup. You know, he's got the clicker and he's got the right cables in case whoever's hosting forgets, which does happen because I was hosting last month and I forgot my clicker. But I think it's about finding ways to make people accountable if they're going to be involved as well. But I think we're lucky. We have a really good, like, the Sydney group analytics community is really strong, and there is this group of sort of like 10, 12 people that are all willing to step up. And I think it's really hard to find.
Well, and I think the other thing that I've observed, and certainly the Web Analytics Wednesdays, they've always had success or failure based on the local group and being tied into the DAA. Well, the DAA is good for a lot of things. That in itself didn't seem to predict failure or success. Or what is your take on that?
Well, so I think I have a little bit of history that, I mean, there was an agreement between the DAA and Web Analytics Wednesday around, it was weird. Like, the DAA was supposed to be, this is educational and training, and the Web Analytics Wednesday in its initial form was, this is socializing and being casual and informal. And then for the DAA chapter system wasn't really there yet when some of the Web Analytics Wednesdays started. But, you know, the easy way around that was to say, well, I'm not taking money from anybody, so screw you all. I'm going to do information and networking and combine it. And I think that's kind of evolved over the years. That's what Sydney's does. That's what Philadelphia used to do. You know, I think there's one in Houston.
They do a lot of content in Toronto as well, I think.
Yeah. But I actually look, and you look at the other ways, like Measure Bowling, you know, a tip of the hat to Peter O'Neill, and saying, in a way, to me, that feels like where Web Analytics Wednesday started, and saying, crap, we need a way to just socialize. And I kind of want to get back to Mo's point. I struggle with Web Analytics Wednesdays because the one in Columbus has grown. 100% of the time, I walk away and say, I saw five people who I didn't even manage to say hi to him, and I would have loved to have talked to him for half an hour. I talked to five people for 5 minutes that I wanted to talk to for half an hour, and I met three new people who were cool and new, and there were a bunch of people that told me they'd been there five times, and I don't even recognize them, so I'm concerned that I have face blindness. And that's not about me. That's like just it's grown in scale. So grappling with the, I don't want anybody to ever show up and not be, I mean, I will look. I will look for people who are standing alone, who have not figured out how to engage. And I will, if I'm not scrambling to do something else and can extract myself, you know, I want to go engage with them. But I would say to anybody who is, if there is an event, like, we're talking about places where there are established events, and it's like, oh, I show up and I feel like I don't know how to step in. And man, it's hard for me to, like, just walk up to somebody and say hi. And you know what? If for some reason that flames out, or you pick the one asshole in the whole group, then 10 minutes later, walk up to somebody else. Like, every analysts are nice people. Like, you will very quickly be deeply engaged in a conversation and realize you talked to somebody for 45 minutes. But that is when there is that community there, which it sounds like Mo, you basically wandered into it and became integrated with it. I sort of helped start it. I don't know what the scene is right now in Atlanta. I know you guys have had some DAA events, and it's kind of exciting to see the DAA not just saying, oh, we have a symposium once a year. The chapters that are saying, no, we're going to have some other events throughout the year is exciting. How's that working?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple people here that are kind of doing that initial work, I would say, like Jim Gordon and some others. So that is where I see kind of those little buds starting to emerge. But it's about kind of setting that up and keeping it going, kind of like. And I feel like that's a part of this, the way those are, is like, come hell or high water, you have that event every month, no matter what. Whether it's three people sitting at a bar together, you know, cursing their analytics lives, it's better than, you know, not having it, right?
But that's scary, right?
I think consistency with when you hold the event is super important. And it's also important to have something memorable, like it's the first Wednesday of every month, it's the second Wednesday of every month, or however you do it.
I'll counter that a little bit, because I've heard from people that are like, you know, every Wednesday I teach, actually one of our longtime sponsors, he teaches like a mixed martial arts class every Wednesday. So, and I take, at this point, I take into account spring break schedules, holiday, like you can't do it the first one. I can't do it the first Wednesday of every month, because that's going to put it on the 4th of July. I mean, there are times where, so I feel like communication and publishing the schedule is more important, because then people say, oh, if I have a weekly commitment, I can't make this most of the time, I'm going to triply, but I also may be wrong. Like, I feel like I've marched on different years where it's like, we'll stick to this, and people are like, well, that doesn't work. Or even like, we're going to stick to the same location, and people are like, well, you should move it around. Then we move it around, and people are like, what you really need to do is stick to the same location. And the fact is, I'm like, we just need to have it consistently. You can't go for 6 months without doing anything.
We haven't really had the stage where it's fallen on like July 4th or anything. I know there were a couple times.
Well, it probably wouldn't be a big deal if it fell on July 4th in Sydney.
Yeah, is that a holiday out there in Australia? You don't have to cater to the United States audience. Just FYI, we already take care of that.
Oh, good to know. Good
you
to know.
You can do all the other holidays.
Okay, fine. If it falls on Easter holidays, but even then it's not a Wednesday, you know? So I think it's just about being clear with the audience that are coming. If there is a shift, there might be a one-off shift, but I don't know. I still really like the consistency, and I take your point, Tim, about the fact that that might exclude some people that have commitments on that day of the week, but you're never going to be able to please everyone when you pick a date, right?
Well, I've also realized sometimes those people are full of shit. They gave them an easy excuse, and then I'm like, hey, look, we've got one on a Tuesday. And they're like, oh, you just called my bluff. I'm still not going to show up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do think it is a commitment. Like you mentioned, Jim, like Jim Gordon, he's a motivated guy. And I have had conversations with people where they're like, oh, we had one and only 10 people showed up, but we needed to be consistent, so we had another one and only 10 people showed up. It's like, yeah, do that 10 more times and then tell me you're only at 10 people. And that's, so I think, I mean, it is a commitment, and there can be a funding need, which is tough, because it's like a chicken and egg. Like, I honestly don't have trouble getting funding. So we've divided responsibilities differently, and that's one of the things that I'm on point for, although I've got a couple other people who can help because they have their ear to the ground. But it's like, hey, once you've proven consistency, and once you've proven, you know, 50 to 80 people, then it's easier to find sponsors. You actually have a reputation. I do think it's a hurdle. And when we started Web Analytics Wednesday, I could get, you know, basically I would email Eric Peterson and say, hey, you know, here's the receipt. Can I get, you know, $100 for the first round of drinks? And I'd get it. And that was super helpful. And I've definitely heard from people that if they haven't found a company in Austin, there was a startup that said, oh, we're going to sponsor this. And they had the appetite for like three of them. But it's tough for a startup to say, we're going to commit for a year. So I don't, like, Michael, who funds, I guess, I don't even know how the DAA stuff works. Like, is...
Yeah, I don't know exactly. So, you know...
So whoever's sponsoring those things is pissed, because that hasn't been communicated.
Well, and like, I'm not directly connected to the functioning of the chapter. There's a team that's running the DAA chapter. And so we're participating in that, but I'm not on the inner circle, and mostly just because I'm bad at being in the inner circle of things.
In Sydney, it's been quite different. We've had one long running sponsor pretty much from day dot, a company called Panalysis, and Rod, who runs Panalysis, is an incredible supporter of Web Analytics Wednesday. But we basically stepped back recently as a group and we're like, look, we just don't want it to rely on one sponsor. We want to have a couple, but also it means that the threshold that the companies need to offer is a lot lower if you have three or four sponsors. So that's actually a recent change for us, is that we've now kind of shared it out. We have a company called DataChew and obviously Snowflake sponsoring as well. And that's, I think, takes the burden and the pressure off a bit, but it's still really tough. And even if you have to go to a recruiter and be like a recruiting agency and be like, will you pick up a couple hundred bucks at the bar and you can have 2 minutes to talk about job ads? Like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
So, yeah, I mean, the money, it is definitely beneficial to say these are free drinks. So there was a point where we had people, because Web Analytics Wednesday is like one of their credos is, you know, you do not make people pay. That's meant that nobody's supposed to make a profit, but it definitely is, I think, a barrier if you say, hey, come out to this thing and, you know, buy some drinks, even though there are tons of analysts who don't drink at all. But I remember the scrambling and trying to find one sponsor after another. I feel like it should be a good play for people who are in large. If you're in a large company where you have struggled to hire analysts, I've sort of heard and seen that pitch of, you know, if you sponsor this, it's a drop in the bucket for your HR budget. Now, they may say, oh, we don't want our money to be buying alcohol or something. But it is a fantastic way to say, let's invest in this over the medium term, because we're looking to hire people. And if we can get word spread around, and it should, like if you're an analyst inside a company that has resources, that's large enough to say a couple hundred bucks here and there should not be a big deal. And you can even host it at your company and you can pitch it as a recruiting mechanism, and you can put it on your, you know, quarterly goals to actually get more involved in the community. I think that there's like, that's real work. Like at the end of a quarter, at the end of a year, you'd be like, oh wow, I actually put a lot of work into this. You could talk to your manager about it. But there is both the time component and the somebody needs to buy a few drinks, which on the one hand makes all analysts seem really, really cheap. On the other hand, that's just the way it is. Like you provide free food and drink, they're like, yeah, I'm knocking out dinner while also learning something.
Wait, you get food?
Us?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. We feed them dinner.
Yeah.
It's... Oh, so we all go for dinner afterwards as a group.
Yeah, I know. I did that and I was horrendously jet lagged and damn near fell out of my chair at some awesome little hole in the wall Chinese food place. No, we bring, because we do ours at like 6:30, and we don't, it's either basically we have a pizza place and we have a Chinese food place that is very cost effective. But that's not where, I mean, we initially started. We were meeting like at pubs where it was like, it actually was pretty expensive. So it was kind of, we would buy the drinks, and if people wanted to order food, the food was on them. And that worked fine too. And there's the atmosphere too. Like you could say, oh, I've got a conference room we can host it in. It's like, well, if it's a sterile conference room in a okay part of town, that's not necessarily a draw.
Yeah, we've gone through the different venues, and it's mainly like we've tried to keep it consistent at one pub the whole way through. But recently we've had to move venues because they're doing renovations. And the funny thing is the new venue it's pretty tight, especially we get the Sydney Web Analytics Wednesday does get a pretty big crowd. And while some people have sort of complained that maybe there isn't enough room, the really nice benefit that we've all commented on is that it's actually made people interact with people they didn't know before more. Because you kind of can't go sit at a new table on your own. You're forced to take a seat at a table where people are already sitting, that sort of thing. And I feel like Tim has some strong views about this, but it's something that we're trialing at the moment.
That sounds like rationalization to me. Like, oh, this venue's too small, but here's the upside. No, and I can think to two or three times where we just literally the space was too small. And just the fact is you have to pick the space before you announce the event. And then if turnout blows up, we've never been in a spot where we're like, oh, we're gonna cut that off. And we just had cases where people are sitting on top of each other and it's not good. So no, I think it's a fair point to say, yeah. If you have a big cavernous space, then people are going to go be a bump on a log. But how often in Sydney, how often do you feel like we've been doing them in Columbus for like 9 years, and every single one, there are people who show up who could have been coming for 7 years and they just found out about it. They just tripped over it. So mm-hmm. we do some level of promotion, but I feel like that's a place that sometimes people start, they're like, I know the people in my company, but where do I even begin finding the other people in my community? Like, I feel like I just lucked out on the Web Analytics Yahoo group and found these two guys. And between the three of us, we knew enough people to get the first one. But I feel like people kind of struggle. They're like, I want to have my local community. You know, we have no local community. I would love to start it. And it's like, well, who are those people? Like, what do? Do you start surfing LinkedIn and reaching out to people saying, I don't want to hire you, I don't want you to hire me, but I want to get together and hang out?
Well, we use Meetup, and Meetup, I think, has been kind of a big shift. As soon as we started promoting it on Meetup, there was like this big change in the numbers. I know in some other cities, Meetup has actually kind of been detrimental to Web Analytics Wednesday, because there's been some really good meetups that are kind of in competition. Like the data science meetup might pull some people away from, say, Web Analytics Wednesday. So it has like its pros and cons, but I think it's also about having that core group. Like once you find that core group, they're really the ones that promote it. Like we have people that, you know, are working at an agency and they grab some people from their work and they grab some friends of theirs. And it is a little bit word of mouth still.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I feel like that's how it is how the word spreads. Meetup, it's funny because I think just surfing the meetup.com, because in Columbus, there is a data visualization meetup, which I've never actually been to, but I'm definitely aware of it. And there are people who come to Web Analytics Wednesday who are aware of it. And occasionally there's a conflict, but I schedule mine out a year in advance. So I'm like, well, I could tell you if you wanted to know. So, but for a while I was publishing, there's this like master calendar, it's called Tech Life Columbus. And it has every night there are two or three meetups. And so for a while I was posting on that and I was definitely finding people that way. Now, whenever we post a new event, we just have it auto post this like crappy little link that's barely notifying people that it exists in that same meetup.com group. But I think that's a good point. If you go to things that are kind of one level out and say, I'm going to go to this data visualization meetup and I'm going to make myself talk to people, and I'm going to talk to five people, and I bet I'm going to find two people who would be interested in this other thing or know somebody who would be interested. Like, it is one of those where it's like, I feel like it's more something you can tap into. Like, meetups are a thing. And some meetups have three or four people, but that's okay. Sometimes you say, well, if I walked away from that and it felt like they weren't really doing the stuff I'm interested in, you know, well, don't stop. Like, you still need to keep going, because I feel like we're inherently tucked away in little pockets in companies, and you just have to meet as many people as you can who either they are the people that you want to form a community with, or they know people, or they know people who know people that you want to form the community with. And it just takes time, because you're not on a daily cycle. You know, you're inherently on a, you know, monthly or bi-monthly cycle.
And I think one thing that you need to consider is like catering for a varied audience. So not only reminding people when we cover some really technical topics, but reminding people, hey, this is not Web Analytics Wednesday every month. Sometimes it's technical, sometimes it's not, because it's about people realizing like every month is going to be a little bit different. Some months might be kind of someone presenting, you know, the standard two sessions, and then you know, sometimes we do a panel, we've got a debate next month, which I'm really excited about. We've done networking sessions. I think you have to kind of keep changing it up a bit to bring in, to like really attract new people as well.
We had this one like a month and a half ago, we had this lady, I think you guys know her, Leah Pika.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, you know what? She just like wasn't like, there were so many people in the audience who were like, this is so not for me. No, she like... Everybody thought Leah was awesome.
Tell her you said that.
We're recording it, so that's a problem.
She doesn't. You never know what will make it into the final cut.
This is the new promo for her podcast, Present Beyond Midnight. No, I think, but that's actually, but it's a double edged. So one, letting people know, which actually it's funny because I do try to tell people like it's a varied group thing of topics, but that's why you want to have networking. Saying, you know what, the topic didn't engage you, but you had two good conversations. then come back for the next two good conversations, and eventually there will be a topic that you like. But I almost put it more on some of the – I do feel like there are people who show up once, and that's it. Like, that's the one shot, and they don't show up again because maybe that wasn't the one that hit. And I'm kind of like, you know, a lot of work went into this, and it was free, and it was – try to be kind of clear that it's volunteer-driven. So I guess I would say that to people who are saying, I went to this one thing, and it was lame. It's like, well, if you went once – then shut the fuck up. Like, you didn't organize it, and you didn't give it enough of a chance.
See, I like to think optimistically that most people come once, and that even if that session wasn't for them, they'll give it another go. So I think we have slightly different points of view there.
Well, I mean, I guess I and maybe this is because when people say they've been like five times and they look like I was like, oh, is this your first one? They're like, no, I come all the time. I'm like, wow, I look like an asshole because
like,
I know
very few
of them.
Right.
But and there are people who come, and it was interesting. The two webinars Wednesdays ago, somebody came and I was like, "How'd you hear about this?" He was like, "Oh, this lady told me about it." I'm like, "I used to work with her, and she came to one like a year ago." So I'm like, "Well, that's okay. Like, her role is such that maybe it's not the right thing for her, but she actually walked away with enough of a, she was clearly kind of evangelizing." But that goes back to, it takes time. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to start it up, if you want to start that community, there's just no way around the time and tenacity component. And there's no way around, you're going to have some misses, and it's not going to be, I feel like there is a perception. People show up in Sydney, or they show up in Columbus, or they show up in, like, I went to Philadelphia a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And if I walked into that first one and said, I want to start it up in Omaha, and I didn't get 75 people there, I'd be like, oh man, how'd you get there? And it's like, well, they started with a small group too.
Well, and that's another thing, is what size of town do you need to be in to make these kinds of things happen?
Or are there large, I mean, I think there are a lot, like the LA or...
Yeah.
There are places that say, we're just too spread out, which I think is a little bit of a bullshit. You're in Atlanta.
I'm proactively
calling you bullshit on that.
Tim, listen. Your town is cute. It's very quaint. It's just really cute. No, Atlanta is really spread. So the problem is with traffic, it makes it a disincentive. So there are literally about four major sort of areas where people go to work every day in Atlanta. And so if you are in the fourth one and they're having in the first one, you're not going to want to drive all the way down.
Because that's an hour and a half? How long have you been
going? It could be an hour each way. Easy.
I mean, but the funny thing is, like, well, you drove down from Cleveland to Columbus, and for a while there were regulars who were driving a couple hours. You know, so
yeah, those people are weird and special, and you should support and love them because they're so dedicated. But the point being is that it's, as you're getting started, I think, and maybe I'm totally wrong and you're right, and we need to test it, because one thing we haven't done is just, hey, every second Wednesday of every month, we're doing this, we're doing it here, be there, and just let it grow. And just make it happen. And so maybe that's what we've got to do. We're just for the next 6, 9, 12 months, just make sure it always happens.
Well,
is there no public transport there?
Oh,
like, we have ours right now.
No.
This is here in the South.
If we're not guzzling gas while we're.
Yeah, I mean. Well,
but we tested it a little bit because
that's a whole other show.
I was adamant that I believe very, very strongly that we kept getting in ruts with our venues, and it was always in the same spot. And I was looking at the pockets that had like large companies that were farther away. And I said, no, damn it. And a couple of years ago, I'm like, we're going to move it around. We're going to do Central Columbus. We're going to do North Columbus. We're going to do East Columbus. And I'm pretty sure we proved that is not the way to go, that picking one spot. Now we do one spot, and then we say we'll have special exceptions because there's a conflict, or hey, we're going to go do it at Nationwide Arena where the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's where our July one was, which was amazing.
So you're now renting out stadiums for your web analytics Wednesday. Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Yeah, there we did have to do some communication around that so people didn't think that everybody got like an entire section and then we were standing in thinner ice. But what about, so I didn't do the measure bowling thing that was in, I think it was June
10th. Oh, yeah. 10th. I saw some of the pictures on social media. It seemed like...
I'm a huge supporter of the concept. I don't bowl, and I frankly am exhausted, and I will play the card of I'll go head-to-head with anybody who's trying to grow their communities. And I would have loved to see somebody in Columbus pick it up. And I got a little shit about, why aren't you doing it? And I'm like, because no. Like, I got to call uncle at some point. But that is, you know, international. It's got kind of defined rules. It seemed like anybody who raised their hand was successful at running one. I feel like we're getting back to saying, if you want to engage in your local analytics community, step one is see if it already exists and then show up and talk to people, even if it feels like you're late to the game. Like, that was kind of Mo's early point. And if there isn't one, then you know what your option is? Start it, and that's it. And if you just can't sit, we're still too small and too niche to say, I want to do this, but I want to do it passively. Like, that's, the passive people will benefit. If you actually have a hunger for engaging with other local analysts, then guess what? Like, that means you're going to need to carve out on an ongoing basis time to do that. I'm sounding
preachy. But I think there are so many benefits, though, that I've had. Like, yes, you dedicate time to helping run and organize, but there are so many benefits that I've had personally and professionally from making those connections at Web Analytics Wednesday, in addition to making a whole bunch of people that, meeting a whole bunch of people that I now call really good friends. And, you know, it's...
I mean, I'm just like hanging out with Simon Rumble once a month. Like, yeah, I don't think you need to go any farther than that. Like, that just seems like a... You know, cut my pay by 10% and, you know, let me do that and just listen to him talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, like some of the connections that I've made, and again, now I'm all preachy, they've just, they've saved my business money because people like us and they want to do work with us, or they've recommended someone who's given us a family and friends discount. Like, that stuff's invaluable.
Or you have somebody to call. I'm like, there's the number of times in Columbus it has been a, hey, we're thinking about Optimizely, and I thought that person, you know, is using it.
Right. I heard you use it.
Yeah. Can we grab lunch? And I remember Dave Culbertson, like kind of my co-founder in Columbus, like he occasionally stands up at Web Analytics Wednesdays and says, listen, if you haven't had coffee or lunch with anybody you've met, if you're a regular and you're not having one-on-one, you know, meetups, now not necessarily in Atlanta because, you know, you're in quadrant 4 and you're in sector 22 and, you know, Zargon,
I would drive a mile and a half in any direction to have lunch.
But I mean, so I remember him making that, and it didn't really occur to me, which is funny because he and I have, I've got like three or four people that are all people I met through Web Analytics Wednesday that I have semi-regular, you know, meals with. And we've just figured out how the geography works. And those are super, and they're very different kind of focused conversations. It's like just meeting those people. And, you know, it's not I'm networking because I want to get my next job. It's like, we'll find the people who are doing other cool stuff that may be applicable to your job or that you're interested in and hang out with them. And I guess that's part of it too. You know, all you got to do is find like two of those people. It took literally three of us having one lunch and we said, shit, let's do a Web Analytics Wednesday. And if nothing else, the three of us were going to be hanging out together. And if we got a few extra people, you know, sure.
So just pick three people you like hanging out with and make that the starting point. So question for you, Tim, and Mo, if you experienced this too, where did you see the transition between sort of networking event to networking plus content? Because I know the Columbus Web Analytics Wednesday is leveraged, you know, has some kind of a speaker or content most times now.
It does. Well, pretty early on, it was in order to pay for the food and drink, we needed to have a sponsor, and we let the sponsor, give them the no sales pitch, but
yeah, so they did 20 minutes of something.
Yeah, and you know, and that actually was fine. It was kind of more exhausting just kind of working the schedules, and it just introduced more logistics. But we had, so that wound up being more like product vendors. But the fact is, if they don't get the salesperson, if they get somebody else who, you know, I mean, it's like our episode where we had Clicktail on the Digital Analytics Power Hour. Well, we had freaking Dr. Laraz Margalit, who's just passionate about the space. And it's not that hard to find. And the good thing is those vendors tend to have budget. So as long as you're clear saying this can't be a sales pitch, you need to, and potentially we may only have 10 people. So it's better if you can find like the local people who say, sure, you know, I can, you know, $200 is a lunch with a big client. I can do this if I potentially am going to get exposed to, you know, three clients. You know, the ones that have field marketing budgets, it's a no-brainer. I don't think you necessarily want them to be the ones who wind up being the ongoing organizers. That can be, I think, a challenge. But
mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had content. There were times when it would just be somebody in the group would say, "Hey, I'm doing some stuff with PPC. Sure, I'll bring some handouts and we'll chat about it." So yeah, it's a good question. I used to blog about
it. Yeah, we've always had content. I mean, that's kind of been what gets people to turn up. We probably tread a fine line as well, where we say to people, like, you're not here to pitch a product or sell a product. You know, the way around that is if you want to talk about a particular product, share with us some analysis that you did or a way that you used it. Like, don't just give us, you know, here's how it works and this is why you should buy it. But that's definitely, like, that's a really fine line that we're still trying to, I guess, get right between people trying to sell and people actually presenting content that the analytics community want to hear about.
I feel like the content is how they can tell their significant others that they need to go to this thing for content. And then the beer and the drinks and the food are what kind of lubricate the introverts to the conversation. So it's kind of like this peanut butter and chocolate sort of combination.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. Well, I mean, we've kind of just had a little Web Analytics Wednesday right here, right now. but yeah, I think this is really good and useful for anybody who's looking to build up their community. So thank you both for that. And certainly, if you've been listening and you have ideas about what you've done in your community that helped grow it, or great ideas for helping others grow their local analytics communities or chapters, we would love to hear from you.
They may feel like the podcast is kind of their little community, but frankly, that's your earbuds.
The podcast can be your community, at least in a certain sense, every 2 weeks. And we are very thankful for that, Tim. But we would love to hear from you on the Measure Slack or on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And one thing we do on the show is we go around and we do a last call. And who has a last call they'd like to share?
Can we have our guest host? Guests go first?
Sure.
I'd love to go first, because then you guys can't steal my last call.
That has been known to happen, yes.
So I'm pretty excited. Snowflake, who are an agency here in Sydney that specialize in snowplow. At the Iconic, we run both Snowplow and Google Analytics. And just to be clear,
wait a minute, this isn't going to be their little browser plugin sniffer thing. That was going to be mine. That was totally going to be mine.
No, it wasn't. No, you're making that up. I don't believe
gonna
be you.
Mine. It wasn't going to be
okay,
mine.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, they have a Chrome extension, and I'm very excited because for those who, I guess, were around Web Analytics Wednesday when I started attending a couple years ago, for a fair while, it used to be called Mo's Therapy Session for Snowplow, because I would just get the Snowplow guys and basically, like, pin them in a corner and pummel them with questions about Snowplow. So I'm pretty appreciative that this new tool is out there to help with that.
Nice.
Michael?
Well, in the community sense that we have been kind of talking about on this show, something interesting has been going on in the analytics Measure Slack, and also on my team. There is a website called BeatSense, where we're gathering to listen to music together, sort of like we used to do a few years ago with Turntable.fm. Seems like it happens maybe on Friday afternoons in the United States. But if you're abroad or other places, maybe start a little group around you, but it's a great way to sort of hang out, keep working on a Friday afternoon, and listen to Tim Wilson's terrible music selections. Was that going to be yours, Tim? So, Tim, we enjoy that. So, Tim, what's your last call?
So, I'm going to do the Digital Analytics Power Hour Love Fest. So, a lot of podcasts I listen to are a handful that are kind of this similar format. When the hosts talk about they did something or were somewhere and it was like so great to meet people who listen. I had that happen when I was at eMetrics a while back in Chicago. So I'm going to say hello, Jennifer Chance, who I believe introduced herself. She said I was her virtual coworker, or we were her virtual coworkers, because she loves the podcast. And it was delightful to meet her as well as Tom Tao. So that's kind of like my mini pre-last call. But then my main last call, so that was just cool. So anybody who listens, it is like always awesome to actually hang out and chat. And I know we don't have millions of listeners, but it's still like awesome, the people who are loyal listeners, to hang out with you in person. And hook 'em horns for Jennifer, because she actually works for University of Texas. My other last call is kind of a throwback, a nod to two past guests. So I've had this on my list for a while because he wrote it a while back. I just haven't used it. But Christopher Berry wrote The Data, The Judgment, and The Decision. Did you read that post? I'm going to read the first four lines of it. The data is imperfect. Judgment is imperfect. Decisions are imperfect. The question isn't about perfection. It's about progression. What becomes true if we were to focus on progression? Credit goes to Matt Gersha for inspiring this post. A remark he made at a recent... And it goes on. Those are two favorites of ours, and it's kind of fun to see one of them writing about something where the two of them were riffing, and it inspired Christopher to write something kind of provocative, which is something I've heard Matt also rant about. So I last call that post.
Nice. I need to go back and read that. That's very helpful. So, yeah, awesome. All right. Well, thank you both. Mo, thank you for joining us as our guest host. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And a big thank you goes out to our forebears, Adam Greco, Rudy Schumpert, Gary Angel, wherever you guys are. Thanks for paving the way for us. And remember, for my co-hosts, Tim Wilson and Mo Kiss, keep analyzing.
For listening, and don't forget to join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Measure Slack group. We welcome your comments and questions. Visit us on the web at analyticshour.io, facebook.com/analyticshour, or at Analytics Hour on Twitter.
So smart guys wanted to fit in, so they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work.
We're going to do a countdown. Five. Yeah.
And then Mo's she's doing an opening monologue to make people laugh.
Yes. About 5 or 6 minutes of your best material. No stress. Easy.
The red light is flashing. Is that meant to be happening?
Yeah, that means it's recording. So that's good.
Okay.
All right. You're in a hotel. You've taken flights, given talks.
I've had a big day.
It's going to work. Tim gains all the praise. Also does all the work too, so I guess never mind.
No, you had
you don't spend time preparing for that moment, like in the mirror and stuff. Like, oh, thank you. That's how we do our next live show, Tim, with couches.
Couches.
Yeah, we're not doing it without couches.
I can try to pick up as a follow-on that may or may not be mildly non-sequitur to Mo, and we can go from there.
And then Darren's going to send me an invoice for like $500 for to stitch together 4 files.
Okay. Jeez. That's a very... I've heard it at the end of the podcast. I have no idea why you do it.
Rock flag and beyond web analytics. Rock flag and beyond web analytics.